Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning at the top of Kuf Yud Ches Omid Aleph. If this is the first time you're learning with the Gemara marking system, press a double click in the yellow box for the brief introduction to the system and for the three-step process in fully appreciating what we're trying to do. Before beginning the shiur, it is highly recommended to print out the dapim. We left off last time in the middle of a sugya. The sugya began on Kuf Yud Zayin. We saw three opinions of Tanoim in to whom the land of Israel was divided when they came in during the time of Yehoshua. The first opinion was that of Rabbi Yoshua, who said it was given to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Those people who were 20 years old when they left Mitzrayim were entitled to a piece of Eretz Israel, so that even though they themselves didn't actually enter the land, their children or their descendants entered the land, the amount of land that those children or grandchildren would be receiving would be according to their fathers, the number of people that were in the family who left Mitzrayim. If you had a situation where one man who left Mitzrayim and had 10 children in the Midbar, one portion of land would be divided eventually amongst those 10 children who enter the land. There was another opinion, and that was of Rabbi Yonasan, who said that the land was divided according to the Bo'ei Haaretz, those that entered the land. So that in the example we just used, if there was a father who bore 10 children in the Midbar, and those 10 children upon entering Eretz Yisrael were above 20 years of age, there would be 10 pieces, 10 parcels of land received by those 10 children. As you can see, a great difference between these two shitas. At the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara started a series of comments or questions of Rav Papa, and we indicated that already with the marking explanation, the geometric forms that introduce series, Rav Papa being placed in a diamond, and as you can see, this continues all the way till Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Rav Papa appears again and again raising questions, and each time he's going to be pointing out that things appear at first glance to be better, to be more understandable according to the opinion that the land was given according to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, to those who left Egypt. This in the marking system is featured by a volcano marking around the Bishlama word, and the double underline marking, which is also a series marking, under the expression Leman Diomar LeYotzei Mitzrayim. The Gemara that we're picking up with now is on Kuf Yud Ches Omid Aleph, second line from the top. V'Omar Le Rav Papa LeAbaye Bishlamo Leman Diomar LeYotzei Mitzrayim. That things would work out better according to that opinion. That was Rav Yoshio's opinion, the first opinion of the Tanoim, that says that the land was divvied out according to those who left Mitzrayim. Hainu dekot savchon benois tzlofchot. With that, we can understand literally the screams or the protests of the benois tzlofchot who wanted a portion in Israel. Namely, their father, Tzlofchad, was one who left Mitzrayim, and he was above 20 when he left Mitzrayim. He had no male children, he had no sons, he had only daughters, and the daughters of Tzlofchad came to Moshe Rabbeinu with the claim that why should our father lose out, so to speak, just because he did not have any sons? We, as his daughters, would like to receive his portion. And as such, that Tzlofchad was a member of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, he was part of the population that left Mitzrayim and was above 20 at that point, they have a claim. But according to the opinion that the land of Israel was divided out to the people who entered the land of Israel, Amait Safhan, why were they protesting? Safhan was not around. He was not from the Bo'ei Ha'aretz. The Gemara answers, there still is reason for them to protest. That even though he wasn't from the Bo'ei Ha'aretz, he was from the Yotzei Mitzrayim. And we saw in the Tanaic source on Kuf Yud Zayin Omid Aleph that the opinion that holds it was divvied out according to the Bo'ei Ha'aretz, what that really meant was the Bo'ei Ha'aretz receive portions, and then it's returned, so to speak, to the Yotzei Mitzrayim and redivided accordingly. That's what the Gemara answers. Elo l'chazora v'litol b'nichse chefer. To understand that, we'll take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. You'll notice there's an asterisk in the Rabbeinu Gershom, which is at the beginning of the section we want to learn together. Elo l'chazora v'litol b'nichse chefer. Tzavchan. They screamed, they protested because of this consideration. Klomar, dafilu lemandi omar leboy horetz nishalka, that even according to that opinion that held the land was given out to those who entered the land, mishum hochitzavchan, mishum chazora, for this reason they protested, because of the chazora concept. Lito benichse chefer oviv shel tzlofchad, they wanted to get a share in the properties of their grandfather, Chefer Tzlofchad's father. Shehoyu lo bonim lechefer shenoldu bamidbar ubou laoretz. Chefer had sons that were born in the midbar, and those sons entered the land, v'notlu chelkam, and when they entered the land, those particular sons were over 20 and received portions on their own merit, so to speak. But as we saw in the Tanaic source on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, even though they received portions of land on their own merit, they were expected to, in your mind's eye, to return those portions to Chefer, their father, the Lachzor v'Lach Loik b'Shove im Benois Tzlofchad Shehein Tachas Avihen, and the properties would be then divided out equally, including the daughters of Tzlofchad that were in place of their father. V'Amtu Lahochi Tzavchon, and because of this, they, the daughters of Tzlofchad, protested. The Gemara continues. Bishlamo leman de Omar li Yosei Mitzrayim, hainu dekot Tzavchon b'nei Yosef. Things work out better according to the opinion that holds that it was given to the Yosei Mitzrayim. With that, we can understand the protests of the tribe of Yosef, which was made up of Menashe and Ephraim. Dechtiv vayedabru b'nei Yosef, they spoke unto Yehoshua with the claim that the portion that we are receiving is not sufficient for our large population. Elo, leman diomar leboy oretz, but if you say the land was given out according to the number of people that entered the land, kulhu shokhil. Shokhil, all of them, each member of the B'nai Yosef received his portion. There's nothing to scream about. If, however, you say it was given to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, what happened there with the B'nai Yosef? They were few upon exiting from Mitzrayim and increased in population dramatically in the Midbar. And hence, if the land is given according to the Yotzei Mitzrayim and they they numbered relatively few relative to the number of people that were born in the Midbar. So you can imagine when they entered the land of Israel, there were a lot of Bnei Yosef receiving a relatively small portion of land. The Gemara answers, we can explain the protests of the Bnei Yosef even according to the opinion that it was given to the Boi Haaretz, Mishum Tfelim, Dahavu Nefishi Lahu. Tfelim are the little kids. Let us say once again that it, even if you hold it was given to those that entered Israel, nevertheless, Bnei Yosef had a lot of young people under 20 years old, the Tfelim, that were part of the entry population, and hence there wasn't enough land for all of their large youthful population. Abaye now enters the Gemara with an observation. He will be saying that from the storyline regarding the entrance to Israel and the receipt of property on the part of the population, we can assume that everyone got something. Because if there was anyone who didn't receive, we certainly would have heard their protest. Abaye appears in our Gemara with a long point marking in the space between the Gemara text and the Tosfos. This, it's a nun indicating nekuda, and it has a dashed vertical line indicating that all of the lines opposite this section are part of the point. Omar Abaye, Shma Mino, from the fact that there is not recorded any other sections concerning protests, Lo Havecha de Lo Shokil, there was no one that did not receive a portion of land. De'i salkadaito havecha de'lo shokil. Because if you would think there was somebody who didn't receive a portion, iboy alei lemitzvach, then he should have protested. V'chi teima, and if you'll suggest that maybe there were people that didn't receive portions, and ditzavach v'ahani kasvei kro, ditzavach v'lo ahani lo kasvei kro, that the Pasuk simply records those people who protested and were successful in their protests. But there were those that protested and were not successful, and those were simply not recorded. But that's not true. Ha b'nei Yosef ditzavchi v'lo ahani v'kasvinu kro. We know that the Bnei Yosef protested to Yehoshua, and they didn't receive, as a result of their protests, extra land. And yet, the Torah records it. Therefore, Abaye wants to conclude that the Torah records all of the different protesters. And we find only these cases recorded. It must be, therefore, that everyone else received a portion. The Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says that it could very well be that there were those that protested and did not receive. The question then is, why was Bnei Yosef the only one recorded as such? So the Gemara answers or casts aside Abaye's point with a long marking, a dechia marking, indicating a rejection. And that's indicated by the Dalid that is encircled in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos with the long vertical dash line, indicating that all of these lines are dedicated to the dechia point. It's in effect a long point, but we're refining it and telling you that is a rejection of Abaye's point. You can see that this continues till Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara continues. Hosam Eitza Toiva Kamash Malon. The story of the Bnei Yosef and their confrontation with Yehoshua is recorded with a different agenda in mind, and that is to share with us the Eitzah Tova, the good piece of advice that Yehoshua told the Bnei Yosef. What's the Musar Haskel? What's the teaching that's conveyed in that portion, in that section of Tanakh? The Iboyalei Le'inish Lizda'uri Me'ayna Bisha. That it's advisable for people to be wary of the evil eye. When we speak about the evil eye, we can think in terms of those behaviors or activities that attract attention, and not just mere attention attraction, but that type of attention that leads to jealousy. In this case, the Bnei Yosef were presenting themselves as very populous, and in many circles, a large family is considered something that's very praiseworthy, something sought after, something people dream of having. And with the Bnei Yosef coming and announcing that we are a large population, they were in effect attracting the Ayin Eino Bisha, the Ayin Hora. V'hainu deka'omar lu Yoshua, and thusly Yoshua responded to them, dechtiv, v'yomer aleim Yoshua, im am rav ato, if you, Bnei Yosef, are so populous, ale l'cho hayara, go to the forests. The continuation of the pasuk is found on the inside margin, where it says, "Uveireisa l'cho sham be'eretz aprizi v'arefoyim ki otz l'cho har Ephraim." The Gemara continues, "Omar lehu." The Gemara explains now what Yehoshua was saying to them when he said, "Go to the forest." He was saying, "Lehu v'hechabu atzmechem b'yeorim." Go and hide yourselves. In other words, build homes in the forested areas where people don't generally see you. Shelo tishloik bochem ayin ra, so that the evil eye or the feeling of jealousy won't have rule over you. Omrule, the Bnei Yosef, had a response to Yehoshua. They said, "Listen, we are not worried about the Ayin Hara." And the reason for that is because since we're from Yosef, Ayin Hara has no effect over us. We're insulated from the harm that that could cause. Anan Mizara de Yosef. We are from the offspring of Yosef de Lo Sholta Bey Ayin Abisha. The Ayin Abisha, the Ayin Hara, has no effect over Yosef and his descendants. Dichtiv, ben poiras Yosef, ben poiras ale ayin. That's the pasuk, and Rabbi Avo darshens the pasuk. V'yom Rabbi Avo, al tikri ale ayin. Don't read the pasuk as ale ayin, ela ule ayin, meaning above the eye, that they rise above the Ayin Hara. They rule over it. It doesn't rule over them. Another opinion for a source on this matter, Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanina Omar Mehocha. From the following, one can see that the Bnei Yosef are insulated, are protected from the ill effects of the Ayin Hara. This is a posuk from the bracha that was given to Yosef, V'yidgu l'roiv bekerav haretz. That's the posuk with the word v'yidgu having as its shoresh, having as its root the word dad. V'yidgu l'rov mean they were blessed with populous increase like fish. Ma dogim shebiyam mayim mechasim aleim, just like dagim who are very populous, they increase in large amounts. The sea waters cover them. The Ein Ha'ayin Sholet is when one, when he looks at the sea, doesn't notice what's beneath its surface, doesn't notice the large schools of fish. Av Zaro Shel Yosef Ein Ha'ayin Sholet is Bohem. So too, the offspring of Yosef, the eye doesn't rule over them, doesn't have any effects on them. At this point in the Gemara, then, we've concluded the discussion concerning the division of the land between either the Yotzei Mitzrayim or the Bo'ei Ha'aretz. We continue now with another section, another quote from the Mishnah, Meraglim, Yehoshua veKolev notlu chelkom. As far as the portion that was going to be received by the Meraglim, because of their sin, because of their speaking against the land of Israel, they lost it, and it was absorbed by Yehoshua and Kalev. The Gemara asks, Mino hani mili? From where do we know this? Omar Ula, the Omar Krov, Yehoshua ben Nun, the Kalev ben Yefune, Choyu min ho anoshim hohem. That's the pasuk. The Gemara focuses on the expression choyu. My choyu. Ilema choyu mamish. If one is to think that it means literally, they lived, they continued living, they did not die in the death of that group of the spies of the Meraglim. Well, that they continued living, we know from another source. V'hoksiv kroachrina. From the Meraglim, no one was left. Ki'im Kolev ben Yefune v'Yoshua ben Nun. Elo, my choyu. What are we to understand from the expression choyu in the opening pasuk? Shechoyu bechelkom. They lived in their portion. Namely, they absorbed the portion of Eretz Yisrael that would have gone to their fellow Meraglim. In the outside margin, we have a nosei feature, a topic heading. L'chol hadeois she'muvois kan. According to all the opinions that are brought in this Gemara, la Meraglim hayu Chelek Beretz Yisrael v'notlum Yehoshua v'kolev. The Meraglim were destined to have a piece of Eretz Yisrael, but it was taken over by Yehoshua and Kolev. Kayemes machloikes hamisloinenim im hoya lohem chelek Beretz Yisrael. There, however, is a controversy surrounding the Misloinim, whether they have a chelik in the land. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah: Misloinim ve'adas koirach lo hoya lohem chelik ba'aretz. If you follow the different types of underlining system that we have here, we will see that this will help us compare what we are taught in the Mishnah with what we're now going to see in the Braisa. The Hotanya, the Gemara raises a question from a Tanaic source. Meraglim misloinenim viadas koirach Yehoshua v'kolev notlu chelkom. Let's take full advantage of the marking system. There's a diagonal dashed underline featuring Misloinen and Vadas Korach. There's a horizontal dashed underline under the issue of having a chelik or not. The Mishnah's position on chelik was Lo hoya lohem chelik. To whom? To Misloinen and Vadas Korach. According to the Braisa, you can see the Misloinen and Vadas Korach with the diagonal dashed underline. It says chelkom. Not they had a chelik. Was just taken by Yehoshua and Kalev. Lo kashya. We don't have to view this as some type of contradiction. but rather more makish misloinenim lamaraglim, more lo makish misloinenim lamaraglim. The Brisa opinion that views misloinenim adas korach as having a chelek compares them, groups 2 and 3, namely the misloinenim and adas korach, to group 1, the meraglim. And in our introductory remarks, we pointed out that the meraglim lefi all opinions, according to all opinions, meraglim had a chelek. So the Brisa, which indicates misloinenim adas korach also had a chelek, it's because he, that Brisa, compares them to the meraglim. The Mishnah, however, that says that misloinenim adas korach did not have a chelek, is a function of the Tana of the Mishnah not comparing lo makish misloinenim lamaraglim. Disanya. We will see now a Tanaic source. And after the Tanaic source, the Gemara will comment on it. The source quotes a pasuk, and the section that's underlined in this Tanaic source, those lines that are highlighted with the underlining are the quote from the pasuk itself. Avinu meis bamidbar zet slofchad. This pasuk was actually recited by the benos slofchad. This was their protest to Moshe. They said, "Our father didn't die in the Midbar." That's a reference to Tzlofchad. V'hu lo hoya b'soicha eida. Ze adas meraglim. Take note that we've dot underlined the word meraglim. This is the focus of our attention. Hanoi adem al Hashem, elu misloinenim. And we've also dot underlined that word, misloinenim, because that's part of our focus. Be'adas korach kemashmo. The word adas korach is self-explanatory, self-evident. That is as it sounds, namely the members of Korach's rebellious group are featured explicitly. So we have a source that mentions the meraglim, it mentions the misloinenim, and it also mentions the adas korach. What we've done is we've offered a dot underline under three expressions. We've featured the meraglim, and we've also featured misloinenim with adas korach. More makish misloinenim lemeraglim, or more lo makish misloinenim lemeraglim. As far as the Mishnah and Brisa that we saw above are concerned, one, when looking at this pasuk, feels that there is a comparison or there's a connection made between misloinenim and meraglim, and that's by virtue of the fact that they're in the same pasuk. However, there's another opinion that says not to compare them. But you'll ask, but they're in the same pasuk. How could you hold not to compare them? The Rashbam answers that question. He says in the middle of the narrow lines, Umor lo makish, lo choshiv le hekish. Even though they appear in the same pasuk, he does not view it as a hekish. Kevan de lo ksiv be vav besocha edo viha no adim. In the source, you can see the quote that the Rashbam is bringing you. He mentions in the Brisa with the underlined sections of Pasuk, the second underlined part, mentioned V'hu lo hoya b'socha eda. What comes immediately after that as far as the Pasuk is concerned? Hanoi adim al Hashem, but it doesn't say V'hanoi adim al Hashem. Hence, by the absence of the Vav, I see that that section is not connected, because the Vav letter has that property, the property of connecting. The Hanoadim al Hashem phrase doesn't begin with a Vav, V'Hanoadim. Hence, this opinion views it as a separate group. Hence, the Misloinenim are not compared to the Meraglim. till now, when we've seen the expression misloinenim, we were to have thought that it's a reference to the complainers in the Midbar, those who complained about lack of water. That's a hava mina. If you think thusly, that the misloinenim are all those that complain because of lack of water, that actually accounts for rov for the majority of Klal Yisrael. Bearing that in mind, let's continue in the Gemara. V'omerle Rav Popo l'Abaye. As you can see, we're picking up our series of Rav Popo questions posed to Abaye. This is one of the fantastic features of the marking system. It shows you that there's a pattern in the Gemara, even though it seems at times that the Gemara has entered a new realm, a new topic altogether. Nevertheless, the same format continues, and in this case, it's Rav Papa posing questions to Abaye. Here, it's a question on the issue specifically of Misloinenim and Meraglim. But after that, we're going to notice Rav Papa once again raising a question, going back to the original topic of Yotzei Mitzrayim Nischalka Haaretz. It's possible for us to see all of this with relative ease because of the marking feature. Continuing in the Gemara, V'omale Rav Popo l'Abaye. Uleman demakish misloinenim lemeraglim. He who compares misloinenim to meraglim, and we know just like the meraglim received, were destined to receive a portion, but it was absorbed, their portions were absorbed by Yehoshua and Kalev. The misloinenim also, by token of the Hekish, were destined to receive a portion, and their portions were likewise absorbed by Yehoshua and Kalev. Rav Papa continues, Ichbol Yehoshua v'Kalev v'yarsu l'kula Eretz Yisrael. Ichbol is an expression indicating increase, like for kaful. In this case, could one possibly imagine that Yehoshua and Kalev, two men, inherited most of Eretz Yisrael? Even though the Gemara uses the expression kula Eretz Yisrael, it's pointed out it means most of Eretz Yisrael, because the misloinenim were most of the population. And if you say that we compare misloinenim to meraglim, just like meraglim were destined to receive a portion and Yehoshua and Kalev inherited their section, you're going to end up saying the same thing about misloinenim. And if you say that misloinenim are the complainers concerning lack of water, that accounts for rov Klal Yisrael. Omar Lei, Abaye answers, the term misloinenim is not to be viewed in isolation, but rather misloinenim sheba'adas korach ko'aminan. They're not two separate groups, but rather it's those people who joined the Korach complaint. So those men were destined to receive a portion of Eretz Yisrael, and we were told above, according to the Brisa, that Yehoshua and Kalev inherited their portion. V'omale Rav Popo le'Abaye. Bishlamo l'man de'omar li'yotzei Mitzrayim nischalka ha'aretz. Things will work out according to the opinion that Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst the group that left Mitzrayim. Let us take a look at our introductory remark on the outside margin, the Nosei. L'hazbir cheshboin hanachalois shiksuvim ba'posuk, v'hi chevle menashe asara. The pasuk in the book of Yoshua, Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Hey, says that that Menashe, Vayhi Chevlei Menashe Asor, that the tribe of Menashe had 10 portions. We're going to see in the ensuing Gemara that the 10 portions are not to be understood as 10 separate equal portions of land, but rather an accounting of 10 divisions. Some are actually going to be very small portions and some very large, but we are at this point simply focusing on a goal. And that goal is, can we account for 10? So Rav Papa says, I can account for 10 if we assume that the land was given, was divided amongst the Yotzei Mitzrayim. The Gemara will explain. She saw 6 of these portions, Deshisa Batei Avos. Those are for the 6 main families that the Torah records by name. The tribe of Menashe being divided into 6 main families, and the names of them are found in the Rashbam. That accounts for the reference to 6 of the 10. V'arbo'o didhu. And 4 parcels of land that are ascribed to the Benois Slavchad. The Rashbam explains the number 4 as associated with them, and we can see that in the Rashbam commentary, the first wide line under the Gemara, you notice an asterisk appears there. He says, V'arbo divinoi slavchad, 1, chelek slavchad, shahoya miyotzi mitzrayim. Slavchad, their father, was one of those that left Mitzrayim and was over 20 at that point. Ushnei chalokim minichsei chefer, and 2 portions that Slavchad would have received in his father's property, in his father's inheritance. Chefer also was one of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. He had several sons. And Slavchad, being a Bechor, a firstborn, would have been entitled to 2 portions in his father's allocation. And we're saying that his daughters, Slavchad's daughters, would get that or those as well. So we're up to 3 portions. V'chad acho de'abo shoya miyotzei Mitzrayim, and a portion that was destined for one of Slavchad's brothers, namely there, the girl's uncle, who was also from the Yotzei Mitzrayim. He died. V'notlu chelek haroi l'tzlofchod b'nachlas ochiv kidel kamon. This brother who died, being from the Yotzei Mitzrayim, was entitled to a piece of Eretz Yisrael. That piece was in turn divided amongst his brothers, one of his brothers being Slavchad. So the girls, Slavchad's daughters, were insisting on receiving that portion as well. As you can easily calculate here, these are not equal portions. Of course, the 6 major families, that's a reference to the general 6 portions that includes the entire tribe. These additional 4 portions are more of a function of focusing in on subunits of those 6 portions, namely the parcels of land that the Benos Slavchad were desirous of receiving. All that having been said, the point is that the number 10 that the Pasuk records the 10 portions of the tribe of Menashe, we can successfully account for 10 by making reference to the idea that the land was given, was divided amongst the Yotzei Mitzrayim. However, if, however, you say that the land was divided amongst the those who entered the land, Tamni hu dehavu, we can account for only 8. Shisa, the Shisa Vote Avos, the 6 portions that would be received by the 6 family divisions of the tribe of Menashe. When we say family divisions, we're referring to, as we said before, the major families that constituted the tribe of Menashe. Utre didhu, and 2 halokim, 2 portions that are deserved by Hefer, their grandfather, by virtue of the Chazorah rule. Now, these 2 halokim would have been received by their father Tzlofchad, as by virtue of the fact that he was a Bechor. The Rashbam accounts for all of these calculations. The point that we just mentioned about the 2 portions in Hefer that Tzlofchad would have received by virtue of the fact that he was a Bechor, we've dashed underlined that in the middle of the Rashbam commentary under the Dibor Masul Utreidu. And the dashed underlined section there says, Benoy Tzlofchad Yorshu Shnei Chalokim Lefi Shehu Bechor. So we have a problem right now. How are we to understand the 10 units of Shevet Menashe when, according to the opinion that the land was divided to the Boi Haaretz, and we're only able to account for 8 and not 10? Uletameich, the question now is posed to the first opinion, to the Yotzei Mitzrayim opinion. According to you, that felt comfortable with the 10, Ulamadi Omar, Liyotze Mitzrayim Nishalka Oretz, Tisha Havu, truth is that we can only account for 9, and let us do that. There's 6 Bate Avos, the 2 that come from Hefer through the process of Chazorah, that it goes back to be re-divided according to the family head that left Mitzrayim. So that's 6 plus 2 is 8, and 1 for Tzlofchad himself as being a member of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Elo, Mayis Loch Lameimar. We only got up to 9, so what are you going to say? Chad acho de abo hava lehu. There was an uncle that the Benos Tzlofchad had, a brother of their father, a brother of Tzlofchad. And that portion of the uncle, as we saw before in the Rashbam, that's what gets us up to the number 10. Hachinami, so too according to the Man d'Omer that the land was divided amongst the Bo'e Haaretz. Trei achi de abo hava lehu. There were 2 brothers that Tzlofchad had and died in the Midbar. And it was their portion that their father would have had in his brothers. And that's what they were pursuing, the Benos Tzlofchad. So we got from 8 to another 2 portions as a result of those 2 uncles that died in the Midbar. Desanya. We have a source now that quotes the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. And from the Pasuk, we see references to many of the points we just made. Before we read the Tanaic source, let's glance at the inside margin where we see the Pasuk written out. Bamidbar Chav Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. Kein benos slavcha doivrois. Nosoin titein lehem achuzas nachla besoch achei avihem. Va'avarta es nachlas avihen lohem. Turning to the Gemara, Tesanya, Nosoin titein lohem, Zu nachlas avihen. Give them, the benos lavchod, their father's portion. Besoch achei avihen, Zu nachlas avi avihen. That's a reference to what their father would have received from their grandfather, namely from Chefer. V'havarta es nachlas avien lohen, zu chelek b'chora. This is a reference to the double portion that Slavchod would have received in Chefer's property. Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov omer, af chelek achi avihem notlu. Shenemar noson titein. He darshens the double expression as a reference to that uncle property. Ulaman yomar trei achi de'ala havalahu, and according to the opinion that there were two uncles, two brothers of their father that left Mitzrayim and died in the Midbar, hahu, the additional brother, me achuzas nachla nafka, is learned from that expression which appears in the Pasuk. The Omale Rav Papa Le Abaye. Kro Mai Kochoshiv. The Pasuk that said Chevle Menashe Asora, that there were 10 portions for the tribe of Menashe. What is the Pasuk's intention? If the Pasuk is accounting for all those that came forth from them, all those that were born to them, Tuvahavu, there would be many more than 10 portions. If the Pasuk, when referring to the Chevle Menashe, to the portions of Menashe, is a reference to the main families that constituted Shevet Menashe, Shisahav, there are only 6, not 10. Li'olam Bote Avois Kochoshiv. The Gemara answers that the Pasuk is primarily concerned with the main families and not all of the descendants from them. So how do you get to 10? The answer to that is that the Pasuk was making a remez, was also referring to the Benos Slavchad, them being the exception to what we just said. We just said that the Pasuk is not interested in referring to the Tfeilim. That's true, with the exception of the Benos Slavchad. V'ha komash malon, the Benos Slavchad not lu chelek b'chora. The Pasuk is telling us by using the number 10, indicating that the Benos Slavchod received a double portion. Now, a little background is necessary before we can fully explain this. The idea of a Bechor receiving a double portion in his father's property, and that's what we're saying about Slavchod, was supposed to receive a double portion in Chefer's property. And we're talking here about Eretz Yisrael. A Bechor only receives a double portion in that which his father was in possession of at the time of his death. A Bechor does not receive a double portion in that which is called Ro'ui, that which is outstanding, that which has not been collected by his father yet. so that when we divide a double portion to a Bechor, we do that based on the father's holdings at the time of his death. Now, Chefer, Tzlofcha, all of these people that we're talking about them as Yotzei Mitzrayim. We're talking about them before they ever came to Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about Tzlofcha receiving a double portion in Eretz Yisrael from his father's portion that he would have received in Eretz Yisrael. But his father died, namely Chefer died before he ever got to Eretz Yisrael. So how can we talk about a double portion in that which he was not in possession of? The Gemara concludes, Alma, you see from all of this that Eretz Yisrael muchzek es hi, that the land of Israel was considered already possessed in a legal sense, was already in the possession of Klal Yisrael, even before they got to the land of Israel. And hence we can talk about a chelik b'chora being received by the Menos Lafot in Eretz Yisrael. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.